All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard. It is the 19th of February. It is Thursday night. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington here at republicbroadcasting.org. Very leisurely day for me today, folks. American Free Press did not publish a paper this week in commemoration of President's Day week. They take off about 5 weeks a year, roughly, and don't publish a paper, but then publish double issues to make up for the lost news and space. But in any case, so I didn't run down to see the folks at American Free Press today, but they'll be hard at work getting together an issue next week. I'm glad I did go out today, though, folks, because I happened to pick up the New York Times to read over dinner, and I'm glad I did. I would have probably found out about it because it's all over the internet now, as it should be. If you haven't heard about it, you want to check out the actual article in the New York Times. And as I say, it's all over the internet now. Palestine backer or Israeli spy? For 25 years, Ali Al-Jarrah managed to live on both sides of the bitterest divide. To friends and neighbors, he was an earnest supporter of the Palestinian cause, an affable white-haired family man who worked as an administrator at a nearby school. To Israel, he appears to have been a valued spy, sending reports and taking clandestine photographs of Palestinian groups and Hezbollah since 1983. And guess what, folks? You know, I called the big shot lawyer, who, of course, adamantly believes that a bunch of evil Muslims were behind 9/11 and that George Bush, you know, just rushed to the defense of America and the world and carrying out the wars against Saddam and the Afghans. Well, I called the big shot lawyer up and pointed out, well, I feel like I've been vindicated. You know, my former friend and former colleague, Christopher Berlin, has for so long spun a lot of rather suspect conspiracy theories surrounding 9/11, but you know, he comes up with some very fanciful things, but he would never, I noticed, ever touch the very basic idea, which doesn't require a lot of thought, which doesn't require a lot of spin, that there were Israeli agents operating inside the so-called group of hijackers. Well, yes, it turns out that one of Mr. Al-Jarrah's cousins, Ziad Al-Jarrah, was among the 19 hijackers who carried out the terrorist attacks. So, allegedly. The New York Times says, though the men were 20 years apart in age and do not appear to have known each other well. Well, folks, as I say, I've been saying from the very beginning, and I was telling the big shot lawyer this, that this is how they carried off 9/11. They didn't need all sorts of complicated conspiratorial measures infiltrating this group and that group, you know, here in the United States. Or, yeah, this is what was done, folks. This is how the Mossad carried off 9/11. We'll never be able to prove, unless Ali Al-Jarrah, now in custody by the Lebanese, unless he admits under oath that he recruited his younger cousin as an operative for Israel, you know, we'll probably never know. And if it ever does come out, it will probably never be reported here in the United States or reported as widely as it should be. But, yeah, here is yet another Israeli connection to 9/11, a very intimate Israeli connection. It's going to rock the world of my friend, the big shot lawyer, and my friend, the credulous lad, the pitiful young fool I spoke about here last evening. And I think it's just kind of evidence that conspiracies do happen. Conspiracies do exist. There are people who are not who they appear to be. We had this so-called white nationalist attorney, Kirk Lyons, running around for years posing as a white nationalist. And I tell people he was a government agent. They say, oh, no, he's a good patriot. He's a good white nationalist. Yeah, he's an FBI fink, ladies and gentlemen. Yep. Interesting story indeed.
Yeah. With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life not what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-cytosterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call today for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
Toxic heavy metals. They're in the air we breathe, water we drink, our food, products we use, objects we touch, and they negatively impact our health by building up within the body over time. But now, toxic metals can be mobilized in a safe, effective manner with Chelarex from scienceformulas.com. Chelarex is an oral chelator developed from Dr. Alan Greenberg's clinical experience with heavy metal poisoning during his 25 years of medical practice. Chelarex contains absolutely zero synthetic chelation agents, which frequently cause adverse side effects. Chelarex contains all natural ingredients that enhance the body's natural mechanisms for excreting heavy metals and protects against reabsorption. Chelarex effectively mobilizes mercury, aluminum, lead, and 15 other heavy metals. Try Chelarex now from scienceformulas.com with this RBN special offer. Purchase two bottles, get one free with free shipping. Limited time offer. Go to scienceformulas.com. That's scienceformulas.com. Chelarex. Chelation of toxic heavy metals the way nature intended.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. Yeah, this article referenced today in the New York Times is a very important article, not only because it demonstrates a very, very likely scenario. You know, we don't know. We're never going to be able to prove this, as I say. You know, we're never going to be able to prove that the anything through this. A lot of people will say this is proof. No, 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 it's not proof, ladies and gentlemen. But it's an interesting story in addition, as I say, because of the fact that for years this guy was working as an Israeli spy. And here they quote someone who knew him. He used to talk about the Palestinian cause all the time, how he supported the cause. He supported the people. He liked everybody. Well, as Dr. Mosley is quoted as saying, this son of a dog. It says that Jarrah, the Israeli spy, would often borrow money to buy cigarettes, apparently posing as a man of limited means. Only recently did he begin to spend in ways that raised questions. Turns out he received more than $300,000 for his work for Israel. But anyway, it just does demonstrate the fact that there are spies in our midst. There are people who are not what they appear to be. But, of course, if you suggest otherwise, you're accused of being paranoid or, saying that everybody's an agent or this or that. Oh, well. Well, you know, what's interesting in addition about this New York Times article is the fact that they even mentioned that Al Jarrah's cousin was among the 19 hijackers. Why I think that's interesting, ladies and gentlemen, is because, you know, Al Jarrah is, you know, I don't think an uncommon name. In other words, there's a lot of people in the Middle East named Al Jarrah. The New York Times, I think, felt compelled to mention. If I'm rambling here, I sound to myself like I'm rambling. Let me start again. What I'm trying to say is that there are many, many people with very common names in the Middle East, and they could have just as easily not mentioned the fact that this guy was his cousin. The fact that they did mention his cousin felt that it indicates, I think, that the New York Times felt compelled to mention the fact for the record, number one. And in number two, in a more subtle way, they may have been sending out a message to those who know how to read between the lines that, hey, this is part of the deal. And, you know, it's very, very interesting that I happened across this article in the New York Times today, just about, as I say, I just had a late dinner, finished up about an hour before the show, not having looked at the internet all day long, so this was the first I saw this story. But when I came back before doing the show, I just pulled a couple books off the shelf to just flip through for no reason. And one of them is entitled, My Rabbi Doesn't Make House Calls, A Guide to Games Jews Play, by Albert Vorspan. Now, no, this is not an anti-Semitic writer. This book was published by Doubleday. Now, you know that Doubleday is not an anti-Semitic publishing house. The book was published in 1969. This Albert Vorspan is described as an experienced professional leader in Jewish social action and a well-known lecturer, the author of four books, as well as many articles in American Social Problems, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, so again, this is not an anti-Semitic source. This is a book of humor. It's a deliberately humorous book, but there are many truths in the book. And what I found interesting in the context of this article in the New York Times, as well as with other things that you will read in the Jewish press per se, but in the mainstream media in general, there is a title, there's a chapter in this book entitled How to Translate Jewish Public Relations. And he says, and again, this is written tongue-in-cheek, folks, but at the same time, he's very truthful. And he says, to master the vocabulary of Jewish public relations, you have to be able to separate the press release from what really happened. And then he gives examples. He says a press release will say that there's a membership of approximately 50,000. He says, well, the reality is 20,000. And he says, a spot check of the delegates revealed today, talking about a delegates to possibly a Jewish convention of some sort, he says the reality of that phraseology is that the author talked to the PR man, his secretary, and a man in the men's room. And he talks about how they have a conference, and Mr. Asa Shmendrick, chairman of the board, urged the organization to concentrate its energies and resources on the strengthening and deepening of Jewish identity and Jewish education. What he says that really means is Shmendrick wants us to lay off civil rights. Another example. They go on and on here. He says it may be reported in a Jewish newspaper or elsewhere that the two Jewish philanthropic agencies announced that a full merger agreement had been worked out. 7 years of joint study had finally overcome the ideological and philosophic barriers which had inhibited the joining of forces. What that really means, he says, that Jax Furbesener, the president, died. Okay. This, of course, is tongue-in-cheek, folks, but there is, as I say, a lot of truth to this. You will find it's very, very interesting to read the Jewish press. And the Forward newspaper, which I cite often, Forward.com, is one of these newspapers where they just really go overboard trying to convince you of something. It's as though they're saying, well, this is what we want the public to think, but it's not really what we do think. Kind of another example, which I cited a few weeks ago, the Washington Jewish Week had a headline, front page story saying, many Jews are just absolutely crazy over Barack Obama. Well, many Jews. That also means that many others are not. But, of course, you know, the guy's getting sworn in as president, so, you know, you gotta say nice things about the president. Another interesting example of how the press can take a basic fact situation and distort it for its own purposes. Now, here apparently is what happened. An Iranian, and this is reported from the Washington Times today, quoting a government-owned newspaper in Iran and the semi-official Fars news agency. Deputy Defense Minister Ahmad Vahidi said that Iran had developed an unmanned aircraft or a drone, that it was an important achievement, and that this unmanned surveillance aircraft had a range of more than 600 miles. Okay, now, here's how the Washington Times played it. Here's the headline the Washington Times put on this brief news story. Official says drone can reach Israel. Iran has built this unmanned surveillance aircraft with a range of more than 600 miles. Then there's a dash, far enough to reach Israel, dash, a top defense official said in remarks published Wednesday. Now, I haven't seen the actual transcript of the remarks by this defense official in Iran, but I doubt very much, I really doubt very much that he said, oh, we have a drone that can reach Israel. What he probably said was, we have a drone with a capacity of going 600 miles, but the Washington Times and the spin masters and spin meisters decided to play the Israeli angle. This is not the first time I've seen this done. I have seen it done other times where I was able to check the original source of the information and find that Israel was not even connected to the matter. But, of course, the Washington Times wants to put the anti-Israel spin and make Iran appear to be a threat to Israel. So, again, you know, this is the problem, you know, when reading anything. That's why whenever I write stories, if I am going to quote somebody, I try my damnedest. You know, I always say I'm a stickler for detail, and I am. I try to quote someone quite specifically. If they said this, then I say what they said. Now, if I want to interpret what they say, I usually then add, well, in other words, or what they are really saying, or, you know, this kind of thing. But anyway, this is just kind of interesting because, as I say, it all comes back to this point that what we see in the media, there's a lot of things that can be found in the, even in the mainstream media, and if you read it carefully and judiciously, keep in mind who's writing it and why they're writing it, you can learn a hell of a lot. Here's something kind of funny. George Clooney, the actor, who has always kind of irritated me, but that's neither here nor there. George Clooney has taken up the cause of Darfur, helping the tragic people of that region. Well, that's all well and good. Why aren't some of these Hollywood actors taking up for the tragic people of Palestine who've been living in concentration camps and ghettos and just in absolute destitution since 1948? You don't see many Hollywood stars taking up that cause, do you, folks? I wonder why. You know, my friend Mark Lane, who is anti-Zionist, not a Zionist as Queen Esther Hufschmidt, Rosemary's Baby, and her good friend Christopher Belinze. No, Mark Lane is not a Zionist. He's an anti-Zionist. Mark Lane pointed out to me that years ago he tried to get his old friend Jane Fonda and her husband Tom Hayden to join him in protesting Israel's treatment of the Palestinians. But here Jane Fonda, you know what she and her husband Tom Hayden said? Well, you know, that would be bad for us in Hollywood. Very, very interesting. All right, we're going to the break, folks. Hey, didn't we have a lot of fun last night with our caller from Michigan who didn't like me snickering at the German death cult? I actually replayed that today a couple times just for the fun of it. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right, to fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work. We can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Pain. It's a warning signal to the body, the same as that warning buzzer is to your car. They both are signals that you have trouble that needs attention. Cutting the wire to the warning sound sure doesn't fix the problem of the car, and taking a pill to numb the brain to kill the pain sure doesn't fix the problem of the body either. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired all the time, try Lee's Fountain of Youth. Be clean, healthy, happy, and young. Call 740-783-0021 today. The Lord didn't make the body to have pain. That is just a warning signal to get your attention that the body has a problem and you need to fix it, not take a pill to numb the brain. Lee's Fountain of Youth works with Mother Nature to clean the body and jumpstart your circulation to heal your cells. The Fountain of Youth is the only thing in the world with the same universal electrical energy as the body, and just 2 hours in the fountain will pull the heavy metal toxins out. Visit leesfountainofyouth.com or call to ask about your free visit to Lee's Fountain of Youth, 740-783-0021. That's 740-783-0021.
Welcome to America. It's time for change. The new president is talking about change. Are you talking about change? You know, changing your lifestyle to become more healthy? Well, here's how the staff at Life Change Tea feels. Make the change to be healthy before your body forces you to change. Organ failure, sickness, chemical poisoning, toxins, and much more. They'll force you to change for the worse. A willing change is much better than a change by force. Call Life Change Tea now. 928-308-0408. 928-308-0408. Or you can order online at getthetea.com. You've heard it. Getthetea.com. Make an investment in your life. Life Change Tea. Oh, and P.S. You'll lose some weight.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. I just about drifted off there, folks. You may have lost me. I bet someone would have thought that the German death cult had come and gotten me. Interesting. Talking about secret societies, the descendants of Geronimo, the Indian warrior, are suing Skull and Bones at Yale University, that secret society, which does exist. They say that the members of Skull and Bones stole the remains of their ancestor, the legendary Apache leader, and have kept them ever since. It was filed on Tuesday, the 100th anniversary of Geronimo's death. It also names the university and the federal government. Well, as a mongrel myself of partial American Indian descent, which I guess that means I'm not white, or not all white. Now, some people will argue that point. I guess I have to sympathize with Geronimo. Now, you know, it's kind of funny. Some of you are out there gnashing your teeth and saying, Piper, you are white. And don't talk about your Indian blood because you are white. Even though you're part Indian, you're still white. Whereas there's other people out there gnashing their teeth and saying, yeah, that's right, Piper's a mongrel. Damned if you do and damned if you don't, folks. What can I tell you? Hugo Chavez, in case you have any doubt about why Hugo Chavez is a favorite target of the American press these days, here is Mona Sharin. Yes, folks, she is Jewish. Prominent and respected neoconservative. She writes in the Washington Times today about Hugo Chavez and Venezuela. She says, the Jewish community of Caracas has been the object of repeated harassment. Official media have anathematized Jews in Israel. I like that term, anathematized. A Jewish community center was violently attacked twice. In a Christmas Eve speech a few years ago, Mr. Chavez accused Jews of killing Christ. Can you imagine he said that, folks? Good God. And suffering around the world. Jews cause suffering around the world. Mr. Chavez, she says, maintains a close relationship with Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad and has concluded a $20 billion joint venture deal with Iran. In recent weeks, Mr. Chavez ratcheted up the anti-Israel rhetoric, expelled Israel's envoy to Venezuela, and encouraged his supporters to protest what he called a genocidal holocaust against the Palestinian people before Israel's embassy. Damn, I wish we had a president like that in this country. Well, now, you know, the big thing, in January, there were vandals struck a Caracas synagogue. And, of course, everybody was saying that's a consequence of the evil Mr. Chavez, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, it turns out they have made some arrests in the case. Now, what's interesting, now, Mona Sharen says that one of the arrests is dubious. One suspect just happens to be the former bodyguard of the rabbi at the synagogue. Now, isn't that interesting? I'll tell you why that is interesting, folks. In the small city where I was born, lived there a couple years. My grandmother lived there for many, many years till her death. There was a synagogue that was vandalized. And I recall this. It happened when I was, I guess, probably, 8 or 9 years old. And the local newspaper obediently published a full page of pictures of the work of the vandal at the synagogue. And, you know, everybody was throwing up their hands. Oh, my God, you know, active anti-Semitism, blah, 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 blah. You know, what a tragedy. Oh, my God, are we going to have another Holocaust? Boo-hoo-hoo. Boo-hoo-hoo. Let me cry again. Boo-hoo-hoo. But in any case, you know what I found out years later from my mother? I just happened to be having a conversation with my mother, and I brought that up to her, and I said, do you remember when that synagogue was vandalized? And she said, yeah. And she said, do you know who did it? And I said, no. And she said, it turned out to be the rabbi's son. And I said, how do you know that? And she said, well, you know who told me? And then she mentioned that it was this nice little old Jewish lady who lived next door to my grandmother. So it was an open secret in that small but very influential Jewish community in that small city. But it was never reported in the local newspaper. It had been a big to-do when it happened. But when they discovered that, it had been the rabbi's son, who was apparently a problem child of some sort or another, that was never reported. And how did little Mike Piper find out about it? Through his dear old mother, who found out about it from a nice old Jewish lady who just happened to mention it in passing in conversation. Now, I don't think the rabbi's son was an agent of the Mossad trying to raise money for the synagogue. No, he was just a bad kid. But the fact is that a lot of times over the years, there have been so-called acts of vandalism and so forth against Jewish community centers and so forth. And it turns out they have been done for the very purpose of stirring up the fear of anti-Semitism and using it for fundraising purposes. And, you know, it's happened. If it's happened once, it's happened. It's happened probably thousands of times. All right, we're going to be going to a break here, ladies and gentlemen, very shortly. We have a couple callers lined up, including Dave from Massachusetts. We're going to be bringing Dave up. If you want to call in here, now's the time to do it. I'd rather you talk than me talk. So if you want to call in and prove that Hitler was a Zionist, damn, this is your opportunity to shine. The number is 800-313-9443. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life not what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-cytosterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call today for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to libertystickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's libertystickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. I just got the news confirmed. Associated Press, 56, well, I don't know exactly how long ago this came out, but it came out today. Buenos Aires, Argentina. The traditionalist bishop whose denials of the Holocaust embarrassed the Vatican was ordered Thursday to leave Argentina within 10 days. The Interior Ministry's Immigration Agency ordered Richard Williamson to abandon the country because, quote, he has concealed the true motive for his stay in the country, quote, unquote, because he said he was an employee of a non-governmental group rather than declaring, quote, his true activity as the director of a seminary. Well, okay, folks, now you can throw someone out of a country because the Jews don't like your views about the Holocaust. Well, I don't like the Jews' views about the Holocaust of the Palestinians, and I'm going to say here and now that if there's any Jews in this country who support Israel and support Israel's destruction of the Palestinian people, then I think they should be ordered out of this country. Let them get the hell out of this country. Let them move to Bir el-Bijan, the first Jewish state, but let them get the hell out of this country. That's right, I said that. Any Jew who supports Israel should get the hell out of the United States. What's sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander. Maybe we'll have a nationalist government in this country someday that looks out for America's interests and throws the Jews out of this country. They've been thrown out of every country They've been thrown out of every Western country, it seems, except the United States at one time or another. And, you know, it's probably going to happen here. Abe Foxman is probably right to worry about anti-Semitism, because I can tell you, the numbers are growing. People are fed up. Let's hope that the tormenting of Richard Williamson, who is a fine man, let's hope that the torment of Richard Williamson, the crucifixion of Richard Williamson, leads to good things, because it's a bad thing when a single decent human being like this good man can be treated this way. And even a sovereign government like the government of Argentina will take actions to satisfy a loud and aggressive minority. No, they didn't. It wasn't the German death cult. It wasn't the German death cult or the Illuminati or Bohemian Grove that demanded that Richard Williamson be kicked out of Argentina, folks. I guarantee you. All right, we're going to the phones. We have Dave from Massachusetts. Dave, come on up. Missed you last night.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Mike. Hey, you know, Mike, there was a very good reason why the Nazis always used Jewish soap.
Why is that?
Because it was very Gentile on their skin.
Oh, Dave, you're sick. You know, it's Dave, I tell you, I'm so glad you called in with that. It's so out of context, but I want to tell you something. You know, I was reading a book here by a gentleman named Cole, an Englishman. I don't know if he's Jewish, not to be confused with David Cole, the Jewish Holocaust revisionist. But do you know that in Israel, that Holocaust survivors in Israel were known colloquially by non-Holocaust survivors as soap?
Oh, really?
Yes, indeed. Now, if this is one of these things, if I called my friend the credulous lad up and said I'm going to start calling Jewish Holocaust survivors soap, he would just, you know, throw up his arms in, you know, great disgust and roar outrageously, "Oh, that's terrible. How can you say that?" But yes, in fact, according to this book, very interesting book, which people should check out, it's very hard to find, published by a mainstream publishing house called Selling the Holocaust. Selling the Holocaust. It's published by Routledge, which is a distinguished, and it is indeed a distinguished academic publishing firm. The author is Tim Cole. It came out in 1999. And basically what the author talks about is the way that the Holocaust has been used for propaganda purposes. Now, he doesn't exactly put it in those terms, but it's a very interesting book, and if you've never read it, I do recommend reading it. It's very, very interesting and very revealing, Selling the Holocaust by Tim Cole. But I guess if the Israelis are allowed to call Holocaust survivors soap, then I guess we're allowed to call them soap, too.
Hey, you know what? They call the Holocaust survivors soap, but do you know what they call, you want to know what they call the people that that didn't survive the Holocaust?
What?
Lampshades.
You know, Dave, I'm here to tell you that when the thought police finally bring lower the boom, they're going to pick you up. You're going to be very, very up there close to the top of the list.
Hey, they already put me in a concentration camp, but they booted me out because I couldn't concentrate. Mike, I was going to be a stand-up comic, but they kept laughing me off the stage.
You know, it's funny, as a child, when I first heard about concentration camps, I thought that that's why they put people in concentration camps. I'm not being facetious here. I knew that to concentrate was to think strongly about something. And I figured that the reason why they called the concentration camps in Europe concentration camps was because the Germans, the Nazis, wanted the people, the prisoners, the Jews and others, to concentrate and think about what they had done wrong. I only discovered it, that concentrate had a secondary meaning.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. Hey, I was going to comment on Juan from Michigan's call last night, but before I do, Mike, if I can quickly say, you know, it's funny, if anybody wants to meet us in the alley, we're having quite a rumble. Just meet me in the alley. Well, on my web blog, Michael, at davefrommassachusetts.wordpress.com.
I haven't checked it in about a week and a half, Dave. I'll have to get up there and check it out again.
There's a lot going on, and people have commented on your comments and also Phil Turney's comments.
Okay.
There's quite a rumble going on in the alley, but
I've got to check it out.
But anyways, and then just quickly, Michael, I just...
Go ahead, yeah.
You know, that guy won from Michigan last night, you know, and I've heard this on some of these other shows and everything, that the European nobility and everything is just using the Jews. They use them to manage their they use the Jews so the Jews can manage their financial affairs. And Ron said that this has to be true, of course, because they were booted out of 100 countries, and that proves it. Because if that wasn't the case, he says they would have just killed them. They would have just killed the Jews. Well, that's such baloney, Michael, because I've read about the lovely, lovely Queen Isabella of Spain. What a lovely queen she was. And for years she prayed for the Jews. She prayed that they'd come to Christ and everything. And she would never kill her enemies. She prayed for her enemies. And incidentally, that's why that's the secret why the Jews have such success, because all these Christians are praying for them, so that's why they're so successful. But
well, you know what's interesting too, David. I didn't even really comment on some of Ron's comments last evening, but this idea that I'm not exactly a supporter. Being an old Irishman myself, you know, I've always had a little bit of hostility to royal families, particularly the British royal family. But you know, I know a lot of people I respect, real intellectuals, scholars of the subject. I've known several personal friends who have made a very convincing argument that the old form of monarchy was in fact a bulwark of Western civilization, and that in fact the monarchies themselves, the monarchies and the nobility, were in fact the frontline targets, along with the church, which of course collaborated with the monarchies. They were frontline targets of the Jewish money interests. So, you know, as much as I am instinctively a populist, I guess all poor folks are populists until they get to be rich and then they become monarchists. But instinctively, although I am a populist in the old traditional Jeffersonian or Hitler sense of the style populism, I can see that argument in favor of monarchy. So that's just kind of a thought, a throwaway thought there.
Michael, right on that note, the protocols there's a lot of the passages in the protocols are directed against the nobility and destroying the nobility, yeah, the European nobility.
Well, that's very interesting. In other words, those who are saying, essentially what we can read from that is that those people such as Ron, who are campaigning against the old nobility, are effectively promoting the thesis, promoting the agenda of those who propagated the protocols of the learned elders of Zion.
Yep.
Very, very interesting. I think, you know, as I say, that's why I let Ron talk last evening. A lot of people probably felt I wasted a lot of time by allowing him to talk, but sometimes I think you can learn a lot about the mindset of people by allowing them to continue on that course. And you know, I think we actually learned something from Ron's call.
Yeah, because for Ron probably represents about 1,000 people or something that listen to some of these couple of these other talks.
unfortunately, that's right. Yeah, one person talking often represents many, many more people. So, all right, well, listen, David, appreciate your call. I have to move on here. We're going to move south to Texas, and we have Carolyn. Carolyn, how are you this evening?
Hi, Mike.
Hey, I just was reading some of your latest installment in the proofs for the Barnes Review. Another great article.
Oh, thank you. I was just reading that too.
Yeah, they're putting it together right now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. Well, a little this and a little that. I think you just were talking about populism. you know, populism is something that's very appealing, but I'm thinking more and more that it's, of course, we know it was used by, it's used by Jewish, it was used by Jewish Freemasonry to disrupt Western culture. And so it's something to be maybe a little bit suspicious of.
No, exactly. Yeah, there's a, it's one of these things, you know, I go back and forth on all this, you know, and it's like, I read one thing I find very convincing, and then I read something else, and it's like, yeah, and I'm never going to pretend to know the final word on it because, as I say, I go back and forth on it myself.
Yeah, and I want to tell, I want to thank you for continuing to comment about on the IHR and you know, updating on that because it's not something that we want to forget about.
No,
ongoing
exactly.
And keeping up with it, that's very good. I wanted to, what I really been wanting to say, I just listened last night to a couple of the last two shows on the archives and listened to Steve. I think it was on Monday night. Steve, is he from Chicago? Called in, and, you know, every time he calls, I always like what he has to say.
Steve's a good
He's
man.
Very
yeah, I like his
level-headed guy.
Yeah.
And he brought up a subject that's been very much, it's very much in my mind. And you don't hear much about it. I talk about it, but I never get much commentary back about it. And that's about the British anti-Germanism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's real, and it's kind of a problem. And I don't really have anything to say about it tonight. I haven't, you know, done any fresh research on it. So I just wanted to kind of commend Steve for having the nerve or the whatever to bring that up, and I hope that it will be talked about more.
You're right about that, Carolyn. You know, it's kind of funny because, and I don't mean funny in the funny sense.
Yeah.
What I mean is that it's interesting that when Steve brought that point up, it was like a hammer coming down, you know, and it was like, my God, he's absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very subtle thing that people don't think about, but when you start going back and looking at the history of the effort in particular to get the United States involved in World War One, which is where it really started, there was this immense hostility towards German Americans, such that many of them changed their names from Schmidt to Smith and things like this, you know, to try to de-Germanize themselves. And so there has been this underlying anti-German sentiment in this country. And that's why, as I say, I mentioned this on the show the other night, and I think that may have been what stimulated Steve's call, that I heard a guest on one of the programs on this network describing his own actions. And when he followed some orders in the military, he said, well, I'm a good German. In other words, you know, I follow orders, you know, I'll do whatever I'm told to do, you know, and as though it's a bad thing. Now, I can't imagine that same person saying, I'm a good Jew, and then in using that in the context of describing some bad activity on his own part, you know, but people feel very free to defame Germans, and it's almost fashionable to do
it. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, and my last name does happen to be a German name. There's both a Scottish Piper and a German Piper, but my family, the Piper family, were Germans. But I was never raised in an atmosphere because of the fact that my father was raised by his father, who was brought up thinking of himself as an Irish Catholic. I always grew up thinking of myself as more Irish than German and really never thought much about my German heritage at all. You know, that's just how some families, you know, veer in one direction or the other, but the constant defamation of the German people. I mean, even before the rise of Adolf Hitler, it was fashionable.
Yeah, and now, you know, it's very clear when you look at the almost all the British newspapers and media, BBC, everything. They just go all out for their anti-Nazism, and which has a really strong feeling of anti-Germanism, unless they're the European Union. You know, types, and then you have all of a sudden I forgot what I was going to say. Then in this country, you find, as Steve brought up, he said the Harrimans and somebody else. Well, you know, I find that among the Anglo people of Anglo Americans or British, you know, from British descent Americans, they also have a kind of a Not all, of course. But there is a real thread that runs through there, that there's still this anti-Germanism or this competition with Germans. And it's kind of it's something that I've noticed a lot.
Well, you know what it is interesting there, Carolyn, is that these people, I think the people you're talking about primarily, and I don't mean to put words in your mouth, but I think you're talking about some of these old line elite families of English stock in this country, this old bankrupt Anglo-Protestant elite. They're the very people who basically allowed the Jews to come into this country and grab up everything.
Well, exactly. And then you have, I just want to make a couple points here real quick.
Yeah, hold your thought, Carolyn. We're going to the break. All right, stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. More of this provocative, I think, little discussion here. Stay tuned.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life not what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-cytosterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call today for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to libertystickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's libertystickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
All right, folks, welcome back. We're talking with Carolyn from Texas. Just to clarify, folks, I'm not attacking the Protestants. When I refer to the Anglo-Protestant elite, I'm talking about these old-line, wealthy Anglo-Protestant families like the Biddles and the Mellons and the Scaifes and all of these people who are sitting on gigantic piles of money, and that's all they're doing. They are the people who could be financing a real revolution in this country. But no, they just want to hang on to what they have and let the rest of us go to hell in a handbasket. Anyway, Carolyn, go ahead.
I've organized. I've got 2 points I want to make. I don't know how good they are, but One is that, say, the British, you know, Britain is very much intermarried with Jews, you know, on the high level of the upper crust.
Absolutely.
And much more so than Germany. And it's, to me, it's like the Jews would like to do the same thing in Germany that they've done in England or in Britain, which is basically take over and kind of be hidden in the social structure. And then in the white nationalist movement, even there, among a lot of course, supposedly white nationalism is filled with Nazis or something, but there's a lot that are still have this kind of anti-German in the form of anything, fear of anything to do, any association with Nazism or Hitler, thinking that they can win over the people if they stay away from that, to the point of accepting the dogma of the Holocaust in order to just go along and not make themselves unpopular or have too much
absolutely, you're right about that. Mm-hmm.
So you know, to me, all of this is all connected together with this old it's so often it's people with British background, you know, people who connect them, their thinking as like they'll call themselves the founding stock of this country. Now, I don't mind that phrase. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm all for the founding stock of the United States. But they think of it in terms of English, Anglo, you know, and then there remains to me a kind of an anti-German or a suspicion of Germans or Germans are lesser. Maybe, you know, I don't think I'm being too sensitive because I really don't feel sensitive about it. I just think that I just see it, you know. I see
you're absolutely right. You know, the point I always like to make is that, you know, we always hear about the Know-Nothing Party, and we always hear that the Know-Nothings were they always say they were prejudiced against Jews and Catholics. Well, one of the founders, one of the top leaders of the Know-Nothing Party was a Jew. No, in fact, what the Know-Nothing Party was, you know, although it manipulated a lot of Protestants who were concerned about Catholicism, rightly or wrongly, but the fact is that the Jews who were running the Know-Nothing Party, big secret they don't want us to know about, the fact is the Jews were concerned about the fact that there were so many Roman Catholics coming into this country with the Irish immigration. And, of course, in fact, they were working with some of this Anglo elite. So this alliance, this secret alliance, goes back a long, long time, to the point that even Nicholas Biddle, who was the first president of, I think, the first bank or the second bank of the United States, I believe, he was essentially a Rothschild frontman. Mm-hmm. So it goes back to the days following the American Revolution.
Very interesting.
All right, Carolyn.
Well,
thanks.
I appreciate it, and I hope that Steve will call in and talk about this some more if he's got
absolutely
more to say about it.
All right, thanks for your call, Carolyn.
Thank you.
All right, we missed Roy from Texas tonight, but Roy will be here tomorrow night, God willing. Stay tuned, folks. Thanks for listening. Please do what you can to support RBN. You've got to keep this network in operation. Can you imagine a world without RBN? Make a donation today.
With recent internet